Reading of verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And our text verse for this morning, And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great opportunity and the great privilege to have a copy of the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for the physical health and strength and ability and the spiritual desire to be here this morning. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know, and we're certainly blessed to be here. Thank you, dear God, for the songs from the young people this morning. And we thank you for that. We're anticipating even the service tonight and what you're going to do in the meeting tonight. Lord, have your way. Help me, Lord, to preach like I wished I had when I stand before you one day and give an account of the ministry. Lord, we ask God that the Spirit of the Lord speak to every heart, young and old alike, speak to every heart. Lord, it'll not be what I've said that they'll remember next week or next month, but it'll be what you've said to them, what you've spoken to their heart by your Spirit, Lord, that they will remember. It will make an impression upon them. And Lord, there's people in our midst today of different and various ages that are still lost and undone without God, and they're in their sin, and they're not ready to die nor ready for the coming of the Lord. Father, if you were to come right now, Jesus were to come before I quit praying, Lord, they would be left sitting here in this pew. And dear Father, the saints of God would be forever gone, and their doom would be forever sealed. Father, I pray that you would put the fear of God in every person in this building that don't know you as their personal Savior. May this be the morning that they get in and get birth in the family of God. May this be the morning, Lord. Father, we need the touch of God. We need the power of the Lord this morning. The devil is so after our young people. Lord, he's making such a play for their lives and for their future. Dear Father, and I pray you'll help the church to realize that unless we have the power of God, Lord, we will never intervene in the devil's strategy. Father, I pray you'll help us today like, God, only you can do, and we'll thank you for it. May this be the day young people will surrender and submit themselves unto our God. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Again, I want to direct your attention to verse number 12. Verse number 12, the Bible said, And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. The word that I'm interested this morning, and it's used multiple times in the New Testament. But I'd like to look at all of them, but I don't have the time to do so. Have several of those verses before me that have the word amazed in it. Notice, if you will, in verse number 12, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to deal with a battle that's raging in our churches, a battle that's raging in our young people, a battle that you will be fighting as long as you're breathing. And that is a battle between amazement and amusement. There is a battle raging right now and will continue to do so in all of our lives, regardless to our age, specifically and particularly to young people, that they are being consumed with a thirst for amusement. Right. But I want to tell you, God does not amuse you. The world will amuse you. God will amaze you. If you're being amused and that's your desire, that's your interest, that's your focus, then you're focusing on what the world can do. But if you're interested this morning in amazement, being amazed, then God does that. And I want to tell you, despite the condition of most churches today that seem to would project to young people that God can no longer amaze you, that God can no longer amaze you, I want to tell you that's false. God can still amaze you. God is still amazing. I like that song that's in our hymn book, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, how He would love us and how He saved us and all that has to do with God is simply amazing. If you ever get a young person or any age person, if you ever get them hooked on amazement, they'll never be interested in amusement. Of course, vice versa is true as well. If they ever get hooked on amusement, they'll never be interested in amazement. I've seen that happen in my ministry. Amen. But I want to say to you this morning, just simply some introductory thoughts. The church cannot compete with the world concerning amusement. We don't have the ability, we don't have the money, we don't have the means to compete with the world as far as amusement is concerned. But I want to say on the flip side of that, the world cannot compete with the church when it comes to amazement. There's a battle raging between amazement and amusement, and I want to ask you, are you amazed or are you amused this morning? Amazement, of course, is from God. Amusement is from the world. And amazement in the Scripture is always superior and bigger than what the world can produce in the realm of amusement. God still amazes me. I'm still amazed. I've been saved 27 years and I'm still amazed that God came to where I was when I wasn't looking for Him, when I wasn't interested, when I didn't have no desire, I did not have any plans. I'm still amazed. Not was amazed, I'm still amazed that God would come and get on my church pew and that God would get my attention, that God would get personal with me, that God would deal with me, that God would draw me unto Himself and save me. I'm still amazed at God's glorious salvation. Yes, sir, God can still amaze me. Now, you won't get that impression if you go to churches that are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You won't get that impression if you go to a church when their main emphasis is entertainment. And I'm afraid that's what's happened. Most churches today have got away from amazement and started pursuing the amusements because that's what the people want. Our churches down through the years begin to decline and decay when the man of God started catering to what the people wanted. The average pastor only stays at a church now 2.5 years. Only 2.5 years. You know why? Either he's going to have to cater to them and compromise and stay, or remain true to God that called him and will be run off. Are you listening? We're just about to the end of seeing long-term pastorates. Just about the end of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. But I don't want to get hung up there, but simply, we want RBT to project to to young people, my friend, that God is still amazing, and that pursuing the amazements of God will certainly be more beneficial than pursuing the amusements of the world. Amen. Amen. Being saved is not a boring life. You don't need trinkets and toys to entertain a true child of God. As with John on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't have no trinkets or toys. And there certainly was no amusements on the Isle of Patmos. It was an island 30 miles in circumference. It was rugged and rocky, pirate infested. There was no attractions whatsoever on the Isle of Patmos. But oh, thank God for the last book of our King James Bible, the book of the Revelation, that was given to John while he was on such a place where there was no amusement. But John in the first chapter expressed his amazement. I got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice. And then he began to tell about it. Amen. Oh, thank God. The world thinks, boy, if we can just take this away from the church, they won't shout, they'll pout. If we can just take this away from the world, if we can just take this away from young people, they'll be miserable and sad and gloomy. Oh, that's not true. Because if you've got Jesus, you've got more than enough to satisfy every longing of your soul. Jesus Christ is my satisfaction. Jesus Christ is my contentment. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of my desires. I don't need Jesus and the world. Just give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can have all the world and still be miserable. But if you've got Jesus and none of the world, you can be happy. Young people, if you get a hold of that right there, it'll sure help you. It will sure help you. If you'll learn, as Brother Fleming spoke, and if you'll learn from other people that's already walked where you're soon to walk, if you'll listen to them and let them tell you from experience as well from the Scriptures that this world cannot satisfy you. If you just get that one statement right there, it'll save you a lot of wasted years, a lot of wasted days, a lot of wasted money. This world cannot satisfy you with its amusements. But I want to tell you, if you ever get a taste of God's amazements, you are ruined in a wonderful way forever. Amen. That's good. I like that. But today's church, most of them have lost these spiritual amazements. And as a result, they have went toward the amusements. And you know that's right. Amen. I've had people I've been here next Sunday, in fact, will end my 16th year here at RBT next Sunday. And will begin my 17th year here at the church. And I've had people to come and young people to come, and I've had parents to come back through the years, and they would say, "Preacher, what do you have for your young people?" And at that time, we didn't even hardly have no young people. At that time, we didn't have but just a handful in our church. They weren't looking for a church they could get in as a pioneer and cause something to happen. They were looking for a ready-made ministry. They were looking for something already in operation. And you know what? They loved the preaching. They wanted that kind of preaching. I mean, listen, I know for a fact, they told me that they let little Junior and little Sissy be the deciding factor. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think a young boy or young girls want to go to church based on the preaching? No, they want to know what kind of ball team you got. They want to know what entertainment you got. They want to know what activities you got. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm not against a lot of that right there. Are you listening? I'm not against that. But I want to tell you, when you use that as an alternative for the amazement, the amazing things of God, when you've lost ground with God and you try to fill up that lost ground with amusements and entertainment and activities, then it's wrong. Amen. Amen. That's right. But a lot of churches have lost amazements, and therefore they have turned to amusements. They've lost out on the spiritual, and they've turned to the natural. Amen. But it all depends on this. Which nature is in control of your life? The flesh will never be amused with God, nor will the spirit ever be amazed with the flesh or the world or the natural. Amen. If we can get a hold of that right there, it'd help us. Amusement. What does it mean? That which, Webster's 1828, that which amuses, detains, or captures, or controls, or engages the mind. Entertainment of the mind. A pleasurable occupation of the senses. You know what amusement is? It's an activity that thinks for you. An activity or an involvement that, my friend, controls you, captivates you, thinks for you, and produces feelings in you. That's what amusements are. See, there was a time the church, my friend, made its way into the world with influence. But over the last probably 50 years or so, I'm 47, it's been like that all my life. We've seen the church being infiltrated by the world. Instead of the world being in the church, or the church being in the world, now we're seeing the world in the church. Where the world was 20 years ago, the church is now. Where the world is now, the church will be in 20 years. You know I'm telling it right. A lot of the immodesty that's in the world is in churches. Are you listening? I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? A lot of the music that's in the world is in the churches. You can't tell the difference. Got the same beat. Not only has it got the same rhythm and the same beat, but also, my friend, got the same appearance. This so-called Christian rock, look at them. Mop heads, earrings, nose rings. Are you listening? Look no different. Dress no different. Sing no different. I say they are no different. Give me that old time religion. Give me them old hymns of the faith. That'll satisfy my soul. Amen. Amen. Amusements. World, our young people's hooked on it. Did you know that the average young person today, don't you listen to these statistics. The average young person today, before they reach the age of 18 years old, have watched 22,000 hours of television. Hello? It don't matter what you think or what I think. I think it's pretty evident that if you look at our country, even remotely, you can see the influence of Hollywood on our country. Are you listening? Amen. You know that's right. 22,000 hours before they are 18 years old of television. Let me help you to feel the impact of that. Or let me help you to feel how much that equals. That equals out to 916.6 days. Out of 18 years, nothing but 916 days given to nothing but watching television. Nothing to show for it. Nothing to come from it. Just amusement and entertainment. Because I'm telling you, it will suck you into it. And you just... Have you tried to talk to somebody when they're watching their favorite show? You can call them by name, trip, stumble through the living room. Honey, the house is on fire! You know why? Amusement. Control of the mind. Got control of the senses. Sucks you in it. Thinking for you. Feeling for you. And I'm going to tell you, let you in on a little secret. It's addictive. The more you get, the more you want. Amen. Let me break it on down. Not only 916 days, but it really equals out to 2.5 years. Out of 18 years, 2.5 years of that is nothing but gone to the wind of doing nothing but watching television. What if you were to put into that equation the hours spent playing video games? What if you were to insert into that equation all of the Nintendos and PlayStation, and what if you were to incorporate into that all of the texting? Did you know I talked to a young lady the other day in a church where I was preaching? And do you know how many text messages she sends in a month's time? Six. Wait a minute. Let me get it. I wrote it down here. I wrote it down here. Let me see if I can find it. 6,000 in a month's time. Hello, Tokyo. 6. Where do they get time to sit there and... Oh, I got another one. Woo! I got another one. What'd it say? Okay. Man, I got to send another one. I asked her, I said, why do you do that? Why don't you just call them? It ain't as fun. I said, if you got something to say to them, why don't you just call them? She said, no, I'd rather text them. 6,000 in a month's time. They don't tell how much time that equates to. What if you were to include all of that and all the other things into that equation along with the 22,000 hours of television? My friend, we've got a youth group coming up in America, buddy, that are hooked on amusements. And that same crowd, that same youth group, my friend, that have watched thousands of hours of television. That same youth group, my friend, or that young person that'll text thousands in a month's time will go to church and be bored out of their mind. When they come to church where there is no amusements, where there's amazements, they're bored. They're hooked. They're hooked on amusements. It's addictive. Are you listening to this preacher? Amen. This generation's on the scene today is bred and fed on entertainment. I went to see Brother John Conley down in Morristown the other day. He was when he first went in, he was in ICU. And they had him back there in the room. There was two beds in that one room. So I talked to Brother Conley and everything. Well, I felt like that I needed to introduce myself to the person in the other bed. He was a man, an older man, and I began to talk to him. And of course, he was saved and goes to church in Morristown. And he, for some reason, he got to talking to me about this thing of like television or whatever.
And he told us about his little granddaughter that was just, I think he said she was 2 years old or maybe 3 years old. And he said, "Preacher, she watches hours and hours of television every day." Now, Brother Fleming seemed to me like a little girl, just not even hardly walking good, ought to be playing with baby dolls. They said, "Preacher, he said it's wrong. He was saying it's wrong, it's bad, it's not good. He said we can put that little girl in front of that television and watch certain Disney things." And he said she sits there mesmerized for hours. And he said we can turn it off and she starts immediately pitching a fit. You know what's happened already? Hooked. Addicted. That little girl don't have a bit more a clue what's going on than man in the moon of what that visual and that audio is doing in her brain. Amen. It's awful quiet. Do you anybody notice how quiet it's getting in here besides me? No doubt about it. Listen to this. The world's main theme is there's no business like show business. And I declare, if most churches have not adopted that same philosophy of ministry. Amen? Listen, amen. They're more interested in performance than power. They're more interested in laughing than living right. They're more interested in feeling good than being godly. And I'll be honest with you, I could gear our ministry into a positive, feel good about yourself, how to become a better you, and all that kind of stuff. Never preach nothing negative. Never say nothing about sin. And I promise you, we would have to build another building in less than 12 months. Brother Gene, remember the other day I was over there speaking with you and Miss Sue, and we stayed over there and stayed over there and stayed over there and enjoyed it. I can't hardly leave, amen. But you know what happened? We got to talking about this. We got to talking about this. And lost my train of thought there. Got to talking about Russ Gene and them. And lost my train of thought there. Amen. Praise God. It'll come back to me in a minute, Brother Gene. Amen. It was good though. Amen. I don't know how I got on that. Oh, I do know now. Thank you, Jesus. And Miss Sue said to me, she said, "Preacher, you know why a lot of these people don't never come back?" Said, "You get on them." And I don't consider myself to be a mean preacher. I wouldn't find no glory in that. Boy, Preacher Rackley's mean. I would feel embarrassed over that. I don't want to be a mean preacher. I want to be a preacher of righteousness. I want to be one that preaches truth, but preaches with the right spirit. I want to stand for what is right. Amen? And she said, "That's probably why they don't come back, you know." And she wasn't telling me, "Preacher, tone it down." They're here all the time. You know why? They know it's the truth. And Brother Gene said, "Why would you want to go to church and not want the truth? You go to the mechanic, you have your car worked on, you want the truth. If it's about to break down, you want him to tell you. If it's about to blow up, you want him to tell you. If your tires are about to go, you want him to tell you. If your axle's about to fall out, you want him to tell you. You go to the doctor, you want the truth. Am I about to have a heart attack? Am I about to die? Have I got something major wrong? I want the truth, doctor. Whether I like it or not, I want the truth." But then we go to church, and we want the preacher to be a puppet. We want the preacher to be a little pacifier. We want the preacher to talk easy and be smooth. Or as Jeremiah says, prophesying to us smooth things. Amen. I'm not trying to build myself up. I don't have to do that. I serve a big God. Now, I want to tell you this. You can go to about 15 or 20 different churches around here. If you could do it and be there in every one of those services this morning, there wouldn't be a one of them preach against sin. Amen. Why don't we get on that? Talking about amusements. I got this week on the radio. Did you know that there's 3,000 teenagers per day trying pot or marijuana for the first time? You know what they're after? Amusement. They've heard other young people talk about the feeling. They've heard of other young people talk about the highs. They've heard of other young people saying something about this or that. And what are they? They're interested in amusement. They're interested in entertainment. They're wanting to feel good. They want this and that and the other. And what are they doing? 3,000 teenagers a day in America trying marijuana. They're not interested in amazement. They're hooked on amusement. And some of those same young people probably goes to church. Probably goes to church and listens to a polar bear in a pulpit with icicles in the pews, and they wonder what there ain't nothing to this. They're preaching all this gospel stuff. They're preaching all this being saved business. They're preaching all this spiritual life stuff, and they're dead at 4 o'clock. Nobody has a positive word about nothing. They fuss and fight all the time. They're sick of it. And then they're going to the world for amusements. You know that's true. Amen. Let me deal with some other things quickly. Amen. Listen to this. I'm going to skip over some of this. Some of you is going to get done before I am. That's not good. Listen to this. Amusement destroys and works against amazement. What do you mean? Young people, I've seen young people being dealt with in their early years by the Holy Spirit. I've seen young people being dealt with when their heart was tender. I've seen them under conviction, but they delayed getting saved. They put off getting saved. And then all of a sudden now, they're coming into their teenage years or whatever. And all of a sudden now, they're interested in popularity. Now they're interested in pleasure. Now they're interested in all the little gadgets and trinkets that the world has got. And I have watched it more times than I can explain. My friend, I watched the Holy Ghost of God be pushed into the back corner of their life. Why? Amusement will attack and destroy amazement. 75% of young people that get saved do so before the age of 15. Another source says this, that 65%, another source said 85% of young people get saved before the age of 15. Why? Their heart's tender. Well, you say, preacher, what happens after that? The odds increase enormously. And I have the statistics in my Bible. I have them wrote right here. I want you to listen to them. After the age of 25, it's 1 in 10,000 that get saved. After the age of 35, it's 1 in 50,000. After the age of 45, it's 1 in 200,000. After the age of 55, it's 1 in 300,000. After the age of 65, it's 1 in 500,000. And after 75, it's 1 in 700,000. Why the odds? Why is the odds against you getting saved the older you get? Because you're hooked. And more involved, and your life is entwined and entangled with amusement. You know that's right. There's people today that'll work. They'll work a job and spend every dime they make on drugs, and will be broke before Monday morning. They'll work and get a paycheck on Friday. It'll be gone before Monday on alcohol. They'll work a paycheck with family to feed. And my friend, they'll go buy lottery tickets and blow it on gambling. Why? Amusements. Amusements. Young people, we're interested in you getting hooked on amazement. That's our desire. That's our motive. That's our agenda. I want to make sin look as bad as I can. I want to make Jesus look as glorious as I can. I want to make being lost look as bad as I can. Being saved look as great as I can. Why? Because being amazed is in the realm of salvation and serving God. Being amused is of the world. And there's a lot of other things that we'd say, but I want to mention this one before I deal with... I don't know what time it is. Yeah, I do. There it is. Let me give you this right here. The difference between amazement and amusement, there's several of them, but I'd like to give you this one. Listen to this one. Amusement will adjust the happening to meet the person. Amazement will adjust the person to meet the happening.
These so-called amusement parks, what do they have to do all the time? Add new rides. Are you listening? Hey, man. They have to constantly be adding new this and new that. Why? Because amusement has to constantly be adjusted to meet the person. Amen. If you go to any of our local amusement parks, which there's only one, so you ought to know who that is or what it is. The amusement park don't change you. They don't ask you when you pay out that big season pass, or they don't ask you when you walk through the gate, now, you need to change. We're not adding no more new rides. We're not adding nothing else. You need to change. No, they don't ask you to do that. No, but they change. They do whatever they have to do to keep you amused. Because if they can keep you amused, you're going to keep going and being broke. Amen. Outside the gate, you wouldn't dare pay $3 or $4 for a little old drink. But inside, look at them sometimes. They're walking around like a bunch of zombies. Can't get enough of it. Die of thirst, go up there and get a little old drink like this, $3 or $4. Get a choke dog, my friend, and you'd pay $4 or $5 for it. You wouldn't dare do that. You wouldn't go nowhere outside there that ask that kind of prices. Say amen. Y'all might as well say amen. Amen. Well, what is it? They've so got that amusement has so got a hold of your mind and your thoughts that you just, man, reach in there and get it and fork it out there and get in the car and say, Lord, what in the world did I do? What have I got to show for it? Amen. Are you amazed? Let me give you this right here. Y'all ready for this? I don't have time to preach at all. In fact, I'm hesitant about even, I'm thinking about maybe just unhooking and hooking back up, because I want to get in this text of Mark chapter 2, and I want to deal with the amazements that's found in this chapter. Amen. And I don't know, let me just pray about that. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, I want Your will. I want Your will to be done. Lord, this morning we've tried so far to say some things to our young people, and not just to our young people, but everyone present. Because this is a battle that's raging in my own life, and a battle that'll rage in everybody else's life. A battle between amazements in the spiritual realm and amusements in the natural realm. And there will always be a conflict and a war and a battle that will rage against the flesh, or between the flesh and the spirit. And dear Lord, I just ask You this morning that You would stir our heart and help us even right now to be sensitive as we're looking for Your direction, even concerning this message. Ask the Lord what You would have us to do. Lord, we want a young people. We want a youth group. Lord, we want moms and dads that are interested and hooked on amazements. They know God. They've seen and heard from You. They've experienced You. And dear Lord, they are hooked on Your amazements. And Lord, You still can amaze us. Lord, if we'll get on the grounds, if we will get, dear Father, on the conditions, Lord, You can still amaze us. But Lord, You're not going to come to this world to amaze us. You're not going to be involved in, Lord, the worldly events to amaze us. Lord, it's going to be in the spiritual realm that we're amazed. Lord, there's young people sitting before me here this morning. There's young people sitting before me here this morning. They're already, Lord, interested. Lord, they're already hooked. They're already to Lord, enormously so, starting to be hooked on amusements and entertainments and the feel-goods of our life. Dear Father, help them, dear God, to know, Lord, this world cannot compete with You, Lord, concerning amazements.
Lord, if they'll get right with you and get close to you, desire to serve you and honor you and live for you and let your will be the predominant interest in their life, dear God, they will be so amazed, dear God. They'll be so content and satisfied and happy and filled with joy and purpose, and their life will not be wasted. A life given for amusement is wasted life. But a life given for amazements in the spiritual realm will be a life, Lord, that will leave a testimony behind for others that serving Jesus really pays. Father, I ask you this morning to have your way. Lord, there's people in our midst today, parents in our midst today, dear Father, that are more interested in amusements than they are amazements from Thee. And dear Lord, I pray you put, Lord, help me to be a preacher. Help me to be a pastor. Help me to be a Christian. Help me, Lord, to be an individual, Lord, that will live a life that your God will project and will display, Lord, to others. Dear Father, the amazements that's found in the spiritual realm. That, Lord, that there'll be lost people. There'll be saved people that are cold and indifferent that will say, I want what He's got. I want that joy. I want that power. I want that intimacy. I want that closeness. Lord, help me to do that. Help parents, dear God, to project to their young kids, dear Father, a life, Lord, that, Lord, would cause them to want what mom and daddy's got. And let it be spiritual. Father, I ask you now, Lord, to have your way. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Father, I feel that, Lord, you'd have us to bring the service to a close. We want your will to be done, this invitation. And I'll praise you for that you do. In Jesus' name we pray.